a woman becomes a nida when she sees blood from the uterus, uterine bleeding, and it's accompanied by a hagasha. Hagasha is different opinion what it means, like you like a shaking, like you feel it, kind of like a cramping, or you feel fluid coming out. The bottom line is most women don't feel hagashas anyway today, but that's the definition is if you see blood from the uterus with the hagasha, that's a nida d'oraisa. We'll see. Practically speaking, if you see any blood coming out from the uterus, you're going to be a nida anyway, because the assumption is maybe like the hargasha was masked. But we'll see. So if someone actually sees blood coming out from the uterus, or let's say they put a tampon or a bidika in, so then you know it's definitely coming from the uterus. So then for sure you're going to be a nida. So we'll come back to that. So the halacha is that once a woman becomes a nida, so she has the status of being tamei aser labala. The question is, how does a woman become tahora? For Svardim, there are 11 days. We'll explain each in a minute. And for Ashkenaz, there are 12. In other words, they're split up to two parts. We'll stick to Ashkenaz since that's what we are. So the halacha is what the separation is, like 5 and 7. So 5 is that no matter what, you have the 5-day minimum. In other words, basically, it's probably going to take more until she finishes. But once a woman has to count 5 days, so but 5 days is even if she stops seeing blood after 2 days, it doesn't make a difference. She still has to count to 5. However, in the other direction, doesn't work. If she's still seeing blood day 7 and 8, so she has to wait. It goes l'chumra in both directions. It's going to be a minimum of 5. Basically, it's going to be split to 5, and then she's going to count the Shiv and the Kiyam. Or the Svardim only do 4 and Shiv and the Kiyam. We follow the 4, as we'll get into, after the Bia Rishona. If a woman becomes Tamei from the Bia Rishona, so then she only needs to count 4 the first time, because we won't get into it now, because the Wimachmir, meaning us, B'nai Ashkenaz, it's an issue about day 5, about Poletis Shechva Zera, but we'll get into the details later. But so that at least day 5, under certain situations, could be negotiable. If a woman's having a problem getting pregnant, and that day might make a difference. And then there are discussions under special situations to get rid of day 5, because day 5 is a chumra. It's a chumra we follow regularly, and maybe a woman will probably always do it, but under special scenarios, besides be a Rishona, there could be 4, but it's 5 and 7, so the 5 days she sees blood, that's a minimum. If it's 6 days, it's 6. If it's 7, it's 7. But whenever that time stops, we'll call it 5. So on day 5, in the afternoon, if a woman's busy at work and she doesn't have time, but let's say all things being equal, the best time they say to do it is before Shkia, like after, maybe Mincha Ketana, usually late afternoon and before Shkia, a woman does a bedika, which she inserts a cloth in, and what it's basically called, this one's called a Hefsik Tara. This is probably one of the most important ones. Hefsik Tara is basically, this is, in order to become Tahar, she has to have a change of status. So therefore, now that she's finished seeing the dam, the blood, so now we're trying to change her status from tamei to tahar. So it's called a hefsik tahar. Basically, she does a bedika on day five, assuming it's day five or whenever that day is, it could be six or seven, but if it's day five, she does a hefsek tara, she does a bedika with a cloth, and then so if it's no good, then obviously she has to wait till the next day. She has time to do more before sunset, but generally speaking, again, she has to do it before sunset, but we'll discuss it when the Shaila comes up. Let's say sometimes a woman forgets, she doesn't realize what time it is, and she does it after, so then, you'll give me a call or someone else, and it'll be a Shaila in terms of how much after, based on different factors. But generally speaking, l'chatchila, you do the hefsek tara before sunset, and then if it's good, so then so that's the first step. So then you're trying to make the transition. So then there's the Ramah quotes minig. I don't know if I assume they probably told your wife your kala in chassan classes, but kala classes. But there's something called the moch dachok. A moch dachok. That's another. It's a minig of the Ramah. About leaving. This is after sunset. Between sunset and nightfall, you put in a bedika, a concourse, whatever they put in, and you leave it there for about a half an hour. That's just to confirm that she's really no longer seeing blood anymore. So then so the moch dachok comes out clean, so then we're ready to begin, start counting the Shiva Nikiyam, the seven clean days. So a hefsek tara is an obligation. That's probably the most, there's no negotiations on that. On the moch dachok, that's just the chumrah of the Ramah, so it depends on the woman, if she finds it, how difficult she finds it, if she's okay with it. So if she's having problems with it or it's giving a hard time, you could let me know, we could discuss it. That's negotiable. The moch dachok, the hefsek tara is not. And then that night, so assuming the hefsek tara is clean and assuming the moch dachok is clear, so then we begin the bedika. So all things being equal, the general custom is they do two bedikas a day. So one you do at night, and one you do during the day, and that would make 7 days, that would be 14 bedikas. So each one, so then you have, the bedikas have to be clean. By clear, I mean, obviously if they're clear, it's great, but the fact, if it depends what color, like if it's red, then it's a problem. If it's another, so then you have to, if the bedika has something on it, you have to show it to someone who checks a rav, a posek, whoever, someone who looks at the bedikas, who does ma'ariv. Let's say she counted 3 days and on the fourth day it's no good, unfortunately, you go back to day one, you have to start all over again. There's no, you need shiv and nikiyam, they have to be consecutive. Oh, you mean right? Because you're starting fresh again. That's always the first thing you have to do from when you're switching from tummy to tar. So you do that, and then right. Whether the bedika is no good on day one or day seven, it makes a big difference in time, but it doesn't make a difference. You have to start all over again. So that's. People teach two bedikas. So Rabbi Willig and others even one every day is l'chatchila. These are all right on the books. It's two a day, so it depends. Like some people have problem with spotting, two a day is definitely negotiable, and it depends on the situation. Every day is also she won't have to do it every day either, like depending on her situation. So like meaning depending if Because obviously, if you know, it could be irritation. She could have things to where she's seeing, she's staining all the time. So obviously, we're gonna, depending on the situation, we're gonna work it out or try to work it out to minimize bedikas. If it, you know, obviously the ones we have to do we'll do, but the ones that are negotiable we'll get rid of. This way, you know, so if you don't do a bedika, it can't be held against you, unless of course it's one you have to do. So either way, so you do, so right, so some, the standard they teach you twice a day, which is 14, but you could definitely do one a day also, and then we could discuss more than that depending on, you know, on the issues of getting, how long it takes to get, you know, how long it takes, how long the Shiva and the Kiyam takes. But assuming all things going, let's assume all goes well. So then basically, so again, so you count to 5 days and assuming she stopped bleeding. So then before sunset, you do the Hefsek Tara. If that's good, you keep on going. Again, the minig of doing a Moch Dachok, you put it in for 20 minutes, a half an hour in between sunset and nightfall. And then the 7 bedikas, a night in during the day, you have 14 bedikas. If it all goes well, so then so that's followed by Leil Tfila. That's followed by immersing in the mikveh. So the mikveh always happens, well, generally speaking, always happens at night. Again, you know, there's some for a woman, for a nida, there are, again, as always, you know, there are discussions the first time before the wedding, that's something else, that's a separate issue. But generally speaking, you go at night, there, b'shas hadchak, during the time of need, so then some would say, like, you could, especially more like on a Friday night, let's say someone's out of town or you live far away from a mikveh, you're not in walking distance, so then under the proper situations, so then one could go, again, it depends on, depends what, if you're in Hamilton, you won't have an issue, but depending on what community you're in, some have a policy, no matter what, they never let a woman go to the mikveh before shkia say, so then, obviously there's nothing to do about it, but if you're in a place where, in other places, whatever your, if your rabbi tells you you could do it, they let you do it. Like, every mikveh is different. Some mikvahs, they paskin for everyone. They decide what's okay, what's not. And other mikvahs, it's not their job, but, you know, if your rav told you it's okay, then I'm just facilitating. So it depends if you get a mikveh, which is a facilitator or one, but assuming they'll let you go. So then, Rav Moshe talks about it. So then, it's not limited to Friday night. This come usually on a Friday night or a Yontif, that's where it come up the most. But in theory, if it's a time in need, it would come up, you know, any, like, let's say it came, let's say during Corona, where people, let's say, couldn't go, let's say, it didn't happen in here, but in New York, they had curfews like at 8 o'clock at night. So let's say that, you know, so different things like that. So again, so a different opinion. Some would say to wait till the next morning and go. Others would say you go at night. So there are exceptions, but the rule is she only goes to the mikveh at night, but there are exceptions. She can go sometimes earlier, and then based on Rabbeinu Tam, it's a whole discussion in the Rishonim, is what's the, because the concern isn't going to the mikveh early. What's the concern is let's say someone went to the mikveh, instead of waiting to the nighttime, they went earlier. Let's say they went in seventh day in the afternoon. So it's not that it's not so much the problem is going to the mikveh. So the issue is, let's assume she goes to the mikveh and then she has relations with her husband. And then at later on, she sees blood. So before the time is up. So therefore, she'll end up being a nida. In other words, that's why even those who permit you to go to the mikveh early, they ideally they'll set up where you don't see each other. Like, she'll go to the mikveh, she'll come back, you'll be out of the house, and then you'll come back at nighttime. So even when, you know, Then you get into if it's at a public event in the shul or other people. But the rule of thumb is always going to be at night. Under special scenarios, you might be able to go to the mikveh during the day, but then you try to certainly not to be alone with your husband. But the question is, you know, ideally not even to see each other, but at least definitely not to be alone in the house, and maybe you could be together in public. You know, that when the question comes up, we could deal with it. But that, so the effort, so generally speaking, is you have the 7, you have the 14 bedikas, whatever the one's going to be doing, and then that night, you go to Leil Tefillah, so after the Tefillah b'mikvah, so then the woman becomes tahar. So that's the process. Once from a woman becoming a nida to the tahara, so it's usually 12 days. The 5 days where she's seeing blood, whether she's seeing them or not. If she's still seeing, she has to wait, but if not, it's the 5. And then you do the hefsek tahara, then the moch dachok, then either 7 or 14 bedikas, whatever they're doing, and then that night you do the Leil Tefillah. Usually at night, under special scenarios, you could get, you know, you could do the mikvah a little earlier based on, you know, different factors. So that's how a woman becomes a woman becomes a nida, we said, by seeing blood, having a hagasha, or basically seeing blood from the uterine. So therefore, let's say she's in taking a shower or whatever, and she sees blood coming directly out from the uterus, so then we know where it's coming from, so that will make her, she'll definitely be a nida. Also, let's say, after relations, let's say you find blood on your aver, so that's clear that the blood came from inside, so that also would be a problem, meaning then, you know, in terms of a nida. So anytime you see blood directly from, unless, of course, the one exception to the rule is if it's da maka, if it's blood out of trauma. So in other words, in theory, even if it comes out of the uterus, but if you know there's a wound, she just had some type of a procedure, and the doctor said you're going to see blood for the next couple of days, or, you know, whatever it might be, next 24 hours. Let's say, for instance, there's this, I think it's called the Murano. It's a type of birth control. So it's a procedure. So you know that afterwards you could see, you know, blood for a certain amount of time. So that's why there's something called a bodekes. Oh, bodekes, we actually have one in Hamilton also, but in Toronto, I'm sure they have, or in New York, that basically a bodekes is someone who checks. Let's say if a woman sees blood from the uterus, but she's not expecting it, like it's during Yemei Tahara, and, you know, obviously the rabbi will ask a bunch of questions and find out, did you have a procedure? So if he thinks it might be Da Maka, so then you'll go to the bodekas. So if the bodekas finds a Maka, so then you wouldn't become a Nida. So generally speaking, you know, Da Maka is an exception to the rule. That if it's based on a trauma, obviously you have to know it's from that. And obviously there's a different discussion among the poskim, you know, what's considered da maka, what isn't. But in general, any blood that comes out of the uterus is problematic, except if we know it's da maka, then obviously you'll be asking shalos and find out, you know, what the scenario is. So that's a nida daraisa, when you have a hagasha and blood comes out. However, we have another halacha. It's called nida drabanan. It's known as a kesem. A kesem is a stain. So what does it mean, stain? So a woman stains. So what does that mean? So that means that she doesn't feel anything. Let's say, in theory, when she's getting a period, she'll get cramping, she'll get different things, you know, she'll feel stuff. But staining means is, I have no idea. I just, you know, I'm getting dressed, undressed, and I see blood in my underwear, or, you know, or something like that. So, but I have no idea. You know, and so then that is the din of a kesem. So if you see something on your body, that's a discussion. Machok is Rishonim. If you see blood on your body, whether that's considered a kesem or not. So, but blood on your clothes, that's a kesem. So therefore, it's only a rabbinical nida because there was no hargasha. It was twofold. Number one, there was no hargasha. And secondly, you didn't see it come out. You didn't see it come out. You didn't feel it come out. You're just seeing something, even though in theory you know where it came from, but it makes a big, you know, but since there's no hargasha, so we assume that's only a din d'rabbanan. So you still, if you get a stain, you're still a nida, but you're a nida d'rabbanan. So you'll say, like, what's the difference? I can't live in a nida d'rabbanan either, but there's a big difference. The big difference is in terms of, since it's only d'rabbanan, so the rabbis gave more leniencies, let's say, between when I'm looking at if you're looking at a bedika cloth, so they're going to be, if it's red, even if it's a, if it's one dot of red, that's it. It doesn't make, the volume is irrelevant. If you see a little bit of red on the bedika cloth, it's over. I mean, it's over meaning it's not over. You just need that. And you have to keep on, you know, depending what, if it's a hefsik, you have to wait, or if it's a bedika, you have to start all over again. But if it's a kesem, so we have different leniency. So there's halacha, it's called a gris, which is, I guess, literally a bean. But, so if it's a kesem, so then for it to be a problem, it has to be a minimum size of a gris. So again, so the different opinions what a gris is, the standard is a size of a dime or a penny. Some say it might be a nickel, but obviously, you know, we'll find out. You'll see if it's close or not. But so if a woman, again, so this is during Shiva, again, let me just point. So during Shiva and the Kiyam, she has to wear white. That's the whole Takana because you have to know what she's seeing. Like, obviously, if she's not wearing white, then you're not going to know if it's dam or not. So you can't. So the, in contrast, when it's not Shiva and the Kiyam, she specifically don't wear white. And it's probably better not to wear off white or beige either. But also, on the other hand, but don't wear black either, because black is, you don't, if it's black, you have no idea what it is. It's important, like, if it's a problem, we could deal with it. Let's say a woman has some people have a problem staining all the time. So then, you know, first you try to work it out, but if not, what the post can recommend is, that I think it's white, it's like panty liners, like white. So though, let me just hold off. I'll explain that in a minute. So for a gris, so the rabbi said, since it's only rabbinical, it has to be at least the size of a dime or a penny. So if it's only a, let's say she's in the Shiva Nikiyam, and she's wearing white underwear, and she just sees a drop of blood. She knows it's blood, but it's less than a dime, so then we're lenient, it's not a problem. Why? Because based in the time of Chazal, there were a lot of bed bugs around. So therefore, bed bugs, I guess, you know, I don't know, you crushed them, there were blood. So therefore, they were concerned that it's really the bed bugs and not the women. So therefore, the rabbi said, if it has to be more than a gris. So therefore, if you just see a drop of blood during Shiva Nikiyam on white, it won't be a problem because it's nida d'rabbanan. However, more than a gris on a white underwear is a problem. So therefore, so one leniency is, instead of this one drop being prohibited, you need the size of a penny or a dime, right? That's one kula. Second leniency is that it has to be on something which is makabel tuma. It has to be on something which is, let's say, like clothes, like a beged. That's makabel tuma. So, before that one. So the second one is if it's on colored garment, so even more than a gris is okay. In other words, obviously not doing Shiva Nikiyim because she's supposed to be wearing white. So let's say she's wearing a colored underwear and it's during Yemei Tahara. So even if it's more than a gris, if it's uncolored, so then we say it's okay. Obviously, we'll get into how, obviously, depending within their limits on the upside. I mean, if she sees like a half a gallon of blood, then obviously she's still going to be a nida. But what I'm saying is, it's a discussion up to four, five, six quarters where, we'll have to, when the Shiloh comes up, we'll deal with it, if it comes up. But the point is, so the second leniency is that you could wear colored garments during the non-seven Nikiyim. And therefore, even if it's more, that's why it's important that she wear, well, if it's not the Shiva Nikiyim, it's important during the Shiva Nikiyim she wear white, but it's equally important not to wear white when it's not the Shiva Nikiyim. And again, so we assume, and it's just your underwear, it's a discussion. I tell you for the sheets, don't have white sheets or off-white sheets, even during Shiva Nikiyim. You could be lenient with, just avoid the problem. If you have colored sheets, it makes it much better, because then if it's colored, then even if it's more than a gris, it won't be a problem. So if it's white, then it could be a problem. So even during Shiva Nikiyim, you don't have to change the sheets. The sheets can remain colored, but the underwear has to be white, but not Shiva Nikiyim when it's colored, so then even more than a gris, assuming it's a stain, there's no feeling and nothing, so then that's the second leniency. And a third leniency is that it has to be on something which is makabel tuma. So for instance, underwear, clothing is makabel tuma, but let's say toilet paper, Rav Moshe, so that's something that's, let's assume it's not makabel tuma. So therefore, if a woman, so generally speaking, a woman shouldn't, it's easier said than done, but she should not be looking. During Shiva Nikiyim, that's the halacha. You have to look. But when it's not Shiva Nikiyim, or any time you're wiping, one should not look. Unless you feel something and you're looking. But I'm saying, let's say you're not, it's regular time, you don't feel, then you should just wipe and throw it in the toilet and flush without looking, obviously, if you feel something or something's different, then you could look. But let's assume anyway, let's say you saw blood on the toilet paper. So a toilet paper isn't makabel tuma. So even if it's more than a gris on toilet paper, it will be okay. Because there's a big difference, because there's a big difference between doing a regular bidika and wiping with toilet paper. But the difference is, a bidika is an internal bidika. So if blood comes out, that's it. But this is an external bidika. It's not a bidika, so therefore that's why we could be lenient. And therefore we assume it came from somewhere else. So again, so the three leniencies are that even on white underwear, a spot, as long as it's less than a penny or a dime, it won't be a problem. Not during non-Shiva Nikiyim, if she's wearing colored underwear, so even more than a gris isn't a problem up to a certain amount. And if it falls on something which is makabel tuma, so therefore it's also more than a gris isn't a problem. So some women have a problem going 7 days without staining, and so you have to wear white during the Shiva Nikiyim. So if a woman's having an issue, what you could do is, there's white panty liners. So some say to wear color, but color, that's against the takana. You never wear black, because black, you never know what's going on then. So you can't see, you don't know how much blood, if it was blood. So you don't wear black, but you wear colored. But during Shiva Nikiyim, so the best thing to do is to wear white, but then put on white panty liners. So therefore, number one, why you could see, and plus panty liners are not makabel tuma. So therefore, even if it's more than a gris, but it's on a panty liner, so then it could still be okay. So that's important. And if a woman's having problems staining, she should be wearing white panty liners during Shiva Nikiyim. So therefore, it gives us more room for, there's more room for lean, more flexibility if it's more than a gris. Obviously, if it's a lot or more that we have to go into. That's why it's a big difference between a nida d'oraisa, there aren't, we don't have those leniencies. A drop out of the uterus, and we see it coming out of the uterus, that's it. She's a nida. But if it's only a kesem, so then we have the leniencies, or she sees it, you know, external wipe, she sees it on toilet paper, so then there are much more leniencies. So let's, we discussed a lot, let's summarize. Right, so we said there's the 12, so generally speaking, a woman's, how does a woman come from a nida to a tahara? So she has to have at least 5 days in between. And hopefully, you know, by day five, she's ready to go. And then she does a hefsek tara. If that's clean, then during ben hashmashas, moch tochok. And then after that, she starts the bedikas, whether she's doing two a day, one a day, whatever she's doing. And then after that, leal tvila. It's always at night, except, you know, if there's exceptions on a Friday night, that she can't, you know, she can't go at night, she's too far away, or maybe, you know, that's shalom bayit, let's say you're at, you know, there are, she's at her parents, you know, and be uncomfortable going out, like, during the middle of the meal, so, you know, different things like that, you know, we could discuss. And then, you count the 5 days, and then you count the seven, and after Bia Rishon, it's only four, and then the seven, and the Leal Tefila at night. And then we said as well that that's, so anytime it comes out of the uterus, so it's you're going to be a Vaday Nida, except if we could prove it's Damaka, so if there was a procedure done, so either we know or we get a Bodek, you know, if we know for sure, then we might not need a bodekas. But if, let's say, we don't know, let's say a woman suspects she might have a maka, so then you go to a bodekas to check if she could come up with a, if she finds a maka, why the person might be, why she might be bleeding. And then there's the concept of nida drabana and a kesem. So then we have the leniencies by nida d'oraisa, drop is, makes you a nida. Nida d'rabbanan, there are different leniencies. So she can either less than a dime or penny. If colored underwear can be more than a gris. And on something which is not makabel tum, if she finds blood on the toilet paper, it could be more than a gris. And that's why I recommend if there's an issue with staining during Shiva Nikiyam, so you'll wear, so she puts on the white panty liner, so therefore even if she sees, even if she is staining, so therefore it's only, you know, it could still be more than a gris and still be okay. Any questions? You, what do you mean? Oh, so, yeah.